to go deeper in you, Lord. I know that my ways are not your ways, but in your will is where I stay. I want to go higher in you, Lord. I want to go deeper in you, Lord. I know that my ways are not your ways, but in your will is where I stay. Oh, 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 oh.
I want to go high
in you, Lord. find my ways on your ways, but in your will.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. We know, Lord God, that in your word you declare that he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So, Lord God, we humble ourselves at your feet right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just say thank you for another chance to bless your name, Lord God. If nothing else is accomplished on this day, we will bless the name of the Lord. We will praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, and we will humble ourselves in our hearts, Lord God, because we want to go higher in you, not higher in the things of man, not higher in the things of this world, but in you, Lord God. It is in you that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We praise you. We're here to exalt the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would speak through these lips on today and give what is needed to be heard, Lord God. We thank you. We consecrate this call, this prayer line. We consecrate the airwaves, Lord God. I consecrate our lips, Lord God, and our ears that we are able to hear, Lord God, and receive instruction from on high. Let not flesh glory in your sight, Lord God, but have your way, Father. We thank you. We praise you. For your praises are ringing in the atmosphere, Lord God, and they're ringing in our hearts, Lord God. We bless the name of Jesus. We ask that you will just you would lead and direct us, Lord God, knowing you will hold us accountable for any and everything that is not to your liking. So, Father God, we just ask that you be pleased with our lives, you be pleased with our worship, pleased with our praise in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We want to go higher in you. Hallelujah. We can't stay in the low places. We can't stay in the low way of thinking, Lord God, but we must go higher in the Lord. Lord, we thank you that it is a high call, that you are calling us higher than where we first started, Lord God. You're not lowering the bar for us, but the holiness is the standard, Lord God. And faith is what you are looking for, Lord God, and that which worketh by love, Lord. So we thank you for the love of Christ that is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We ask right now that you would meet every need on the line, every person listening under the sound of my voice. We all have some type of need, whether it be the need for healing, whether it be the need for deliverance, or the need for financial blessings, or the need for understanding and greater clarity, the need for the mind to be renewed. Lord, I pray right now, I decree it, that you will renew the mind, Lord God, that you will open financial doors of blessings, Lord God. I pray right now, Lord God, that you will heal the bodies and that you will mend broken hearts. And, Lord, that you will talk to us. Open the door of utterance for your people, Father. We need a door of utterance, Lord God, because if you talk to us, then things will be clear. We won't have to guess. We won't have to take shots in the dark, Lord God, but we will know what is the holy and acceptable, perfect will of God. So, Father, take us higher in you. Even now, we thank you for the glory, Lord God, that is manifest on our lives, Lord God. It's not always in what we feel. It's not always in the sound, but, Lord God, your glory is in your presence, and your presence is to be known, Father God. When we feel you, when we don't, we must know and trust that you are with us. Hallelujah, Lord God. So we bless you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, family, welcome to the Exalting Jesus broadcast. I'm your host, Minister Sir Ryan Davis, here on the Now Network. And before I deliver the message, there is a teaching set aside on today, but we know that the Holy Ghost is in charge, so if he decides to speak on things different than what I, you know, have prepared, then we're going to flow and say what he say. Hallelujah. But before I get into the delivery, I do want to acknowledge a few people on today. First of all, the great founder of this network has celebrated his birthday on yesterday. So big ups to the man of God, Pastor Edward Hamilton, and for this work, this broadcast, you know, this broadcast station that he started, the Now Network. God bless you, man of God, and may the favor of God be upon your endeavors as you endeavor to seek his face above all and to seek his kingdom above all. In Jesus' name. Also, if you're out there listening, I'm pretty sure you are, my mother's celebrating a birthday on today. So God bless you, woman of God. And to all the people of God, I honor you that are listening on today. May God's hand of favor rest upon you in this manner. May his favor rest upon you to draw you to his presence above all. Because in the presence of God, the glory of God lingers on you. And when you step out, there's favor. Hallelujah. When you go into the presence of God, when he woos you into him, into his presence, when he draws you in, he begins to saturate you and set upon you that when you step out, that creation belongs to God. So when the presence of God is upon you, when the presence of God is upon you and it lingers, the residue of the anointing lingers upon you, then people have a hard time saying no to you. People, you creation has to respond to you. Hallelujah. That's the favor of God. Hallelujah. It's found in his presence. So we bless the name of the Lord on today. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be extra long-winded today. I don't plan on it. I say that every week, but we know sometimes it doesn't quite go that way. But to God be the praise. Anyhow,
thank you so much, man of God. And to you, and to
God.
Your mother, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. You're loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus. Man, I appreciate you, man of God.
No problem. To God be the praise. And I want to sow a little honor because my mother, she supports this. A lot of times, you know, people who's are in ministry or do anything for the Lord or endeavor to do anything that's anything, a lot of times you get a lot of problems in the family. But my mother, she's supportive. She tells other people to call in. My son has a word. Listen to him. And I appreciate that. So happy birthday to you. God bless you. That's a blessing in itself because everybody can't say that. But she understands the scriptures that says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So to God be the praise. And we don't take any of this lightly. God can use anybody. And in fact, I want to deal with that real quick. God can use anybody. This is not about any of us. Hallelujah. I thank God that he put the gift in me to be able to teach and to prophesy and to say all these things and watch him bring it to pass and all that. But to God be the praise because he's looking to raise a generation. We're in the last days. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So you too can prophesy. You too can walk in whatever God has ordained for you. But what the enemy wants to do is put the people of God in a place of stalemate and stagnation because of competition. And everybody's trying to one up somebody else. And everybody's trying to be the honcho. But God is looking for a unit, one unit, a body, unity, one unit. So There's gifts and operations flowing in each one of us. Yes, we're all different and diverse and distinct, and some of us, you know, are going to do more than others. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and I labored more than them all, but it was by the grace of God. So we have to understand there's different measures of grace, but in your measure of grace, there's something for you to do. I don't care what it is. Sometimes it may not even be that you're going to be heard. You just may have a prayer. That prayer is going to, somebody should be praying every time the word is going forth. If you have a connection with the Holy Ghost, you should be praying for the minister. Because there, let me tell you something, those who are out front are frontline soldiers. All of the fiery darts of the wicked are coming against them. You don't see the warfare. You don't hear about it oftentimes. A mature leader is not going to tell you the things that they're battling with. They're not going to tell you much about what they're dealing with in the spirit realm, but there's something coming against them at all times. The devil's going to try to mess with their mind. He's going to try to mess with their money. He's going to try to mess with their family. He's going to try to turn people against them. They're going to have people talk against them and misunderstand the words that God tells them to say, et cetera, et cetera. So your mission might not be to be in the pulpit or on the radio or wherever in the forefront. It might be to intercede for the one that is delivering the word, the one that is teaching, the prophet, or whoever it is. You may be a helping hand, but we all got something that God have anointed us to do. Hallelujah. You may not be the lead singer, but the choir, the background vocals are important. Somebody done heard this word already, but that's your confirmation. You everybody's not a frontline person, but we all got something we can bring. And then sometimes God is reserving you for a later time. Some people, it may not be your time. It doesn't mean God's not going to use you in a great manner. In fact, Jesus told his disciples this. This is not the message, but this is my admonishment to you. Jesus told his disciples, he says, you shall do greater works than what I do. Greater. In other words, we should always push the next to be greater than us. Hallelujah. Howbeit, he also told them, you're going to have to carry your cross and follow me. So that means the same sufferings, the same opposition that Jesus faced, he's saying, hey, you're going to have to endure some of that too. So don't think it's all lights and glam and glitz and glamour and it's all peachy cream and it's pretty and fun. No. Don't covet ministry, but covet to serve God. If you're going to minister before the Lord, let me tell you a secret. The secret is what you do in private is what will cause your public elevation. Your private humility, when you bow before God and nobody's looking, when you develop a prayer life and you got the attention of the Creator, when you are laying on your face interceding for the nations, interceding for your family, when you're doing those things and you have a prayer life, then God begins to open up doors for your voice to be heard because he says, I like what I hear. Somebody else is going to be blessed by this. This is how it works. It's not what you do in the public eye. God knows I don't need the public eye. But God told me to teach. He said to teach my people my ways. So evidently he put in me what he says is needed for whoever he assigns to hear it. Hallelujah. But watch this. It's what you do in private. Your private humility will determine your public elevation. Your public elevation. Now, you could be privately elevated and publicly humiliated. Let me explain what I mean. Lucifer was in heaven. And he privately said within his heart, I will establish my throne above the heights of the stars of the Most High. In other words, he was saying, I'm gonna be higher than everybody else. That's what he was saying in his heart. I'm gonna be higher than all of y'all. That's what he was saying in his heart. But God says, I'm going to humiliate him. And we know that Jesus says we saw him cast down from heaven as lightning. So we've got to come to a place of true humility. True humility means we are servants. It's not about me being one up on you or you being one up on me. We all are trying to come to the stature and the measure of the fullness of a perfect man in Christ. Hallelujah. That's all of us are looking for. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Hallelujah. I guess this needs to be said, but this was not the message that I plan to deliver or teach on, and the Holy Spirit may release me, but right now I'm going to stay in this. Humility. We must humble ourselves in the presence of God. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. When we humble ourselves under his hand, it didn't say inside other people. It didn't say appear to be humble. It didn't say humble yourself when apostles looking. It didn't say humble yourself when the main bishop come to town. It didn't say, listen, people will work harder when the district manager shows up. For those in corporate America, y'all know how it is. People slack on the job. They do just enough to get by or look like they're getting by. Just to, look like something on paper or look like something on camera. But then once the district manager, the main person shows up, the regional manager shows up, or the VP shows up, everybody's scrambling trying to get it together when they know he's coming to town. But you should already be doing what's right. In the kingdom, it's no different. There are times of visitation when God will say, I'll find you faithful or I'll find you unfaithful in the time of visitation. But watch this. If you already doing what's right, you don't have to put on a show. If you already laying out on your face talking to God, you don't have to pretend to be a prayer warrior. You don't have to show folks how well you can pray. You don't have to do none of that. You just be who you are, and the glory that manifests on your life will speak the rest. The glory will tell the story. Hallelujah. The glory will tell the story, because when you begin to do what God has already commanded, Jesus says, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites. Don't blow a trumpet. He says, but go and close the door behind you. That means it's private. Private humiliation. Humility, excuse me. Private humility, not humiliation. There's a difference. Y'all overlook my stumbling of words, but you get what the Spirit is revealing on today. Watch this. When you publicly humble, or privately humble, excuse me, That's why I said somebody got to pray, because my tongue is getting tired, but we untie it in the name of Jesus. Watch this. When you privately pray and you set aside that time and you give God his time, then God says, I'll give you my ear. And then not only will he give you his ear where he'll hear you, but he'll open that door of utterance where you'll hear him. I find it amazing that people nowadays feel like folks say God said, God said. They think that you're not hearing from God because they're not hearing from God. But, baby, we all can hear from God. You don't have to be any special individual. I know people that y'all haven't even heard of that's hearing from God. There's people whose names y'all ain't bit more heard of that haven't even scratched the surface in ministry yet that's hearing from God. They ain't popular. They ain't the ones that you're going to run after. They ain't the ones that people are flocking to, but God is in them and he's speaking. Watch this. When you have that private humility, then that leads to your public elevation. God will open doors for you. He will cause people to take note. There's something about you. There's something that sounds different. There's something that looks different. There's an aura you have about you because there's something you got that says, hey, God is here. The Bible says that Peter and them, when they stepped out and they preached, because of their boldness, the Bible says that the people took note that they were unlearned men. They were unlearned. They hadn't been to seminary. They didn't sit under bishop's tutelage. They didn't go to apostle so-and-so and get this. God taught them. Watch this. It says that the people took note. They were unlearned, yet they knew that they had been with Jesus. So your private deposits into heaven will get you some deposits from heaven. Okay? When you deposit, when you put that time in, God will put what you need in you, and everybody's going to know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the praise. When you begin to worship God, when you begin to give him his worship from your heart, see, that's the thing. He says, shut the door behind you, not only in the physical sense shutting the door, but he's saying, keep it in your heart. When you have a genuine worship relationship with God, you can be worshiping God on the city bus and don't nobody know it. You can be on your job worshiping God and don't nobody know it. Why? Because the door is shut, but you and God is having a conversation all day long. Hallelujah. This is a key secret to hearing the voice of God. This message has totally changed. This is not nowhere near what I wanted to teach you on today, but the Holy Spirit is large and in charge. He run it. I don't. So, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. We thank God that we can feel his presence. We thank God that he will touch us and we will shed tears and feel goosebumps and all those things, the jitters and the shakes and all that. We thank God for that. But he's not just a feeling. He wants us to not rely on our senses, but to know him. Do we know his presence? Do we know when he's available or when he's there and when he's not? Excuse me. Do we know when God is there and when he's not? Do we really? Hallelujah. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, when you shut that door, when you're in that private place, when you're talking to God in private, then God says, I'm going to make people notice that I'm with you in public. It's not for your glory. It's not really that we're going to be glorified in that, although people will say, oh, my God, he got a word, or she got a word, or oh my God, they got a powerful ministry. They can pray and lay hands on you, and you get healed and recovered and everything else. You know, people will take note of you, but it's really not you that's getting the glory. It's all about King Jesus. Hallelujah. Watch this. God wants to deliver a generation. Hallelujah. God wants to deliver a generation. We are in the last days, and God said he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. All. That means everybody going to get a chance to receive. He didn't say everybody is going to be saved, but he said whoever calls on the name of the Lord. That means he's going to pour it out, and some people still may not call. But we are those that call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart. We are those that are seekers of him. We want the glory. We are after the glory of God. Watch this. The glory. When you get into the glory of God, he makes everything else easy. And I'm talking about as it pertains to ministry. We don't have to wrestle with the devil as much. We don't have to keep commanding the devil. You know, when the glory's on you, it speaks. The glory tells the story. When it's on you, the devil will begin to manifest himself and tell where he's at. He'll begin to tell you where your stuff is at. Watch this. God got this thing fixed. But anyways, to God be the praise. I feel him lifting off of that exhortation now, so I believe I can move into the teaching that I really wanted to do and that I've been studying about. But there's some subjects that the church as a whole, when I say the church, I mean the body of Christ as believers, there's some subjects that we often are neglectful in teaching properly on particular subjects. So what happens is there's a lot of people in the body, unfortunately, this is not criticism. Don't anybody take this like criticism, but here's the thing. When God raises up certain ministries, when he does it, it's for a particular purpose. Let me explain something to you. Everything in the body has a particular function. Your heart is very important. It's one of the most important parts of your body, the heart, because it's working 24 hours a day, nonstop, pumping blood, a life supply to everything in you. But that heart ain't no good if there's no lungs breathing in oxygen. Your lungs are just as vitally important, because it's breathing 24/7. While you sleep, your lungs are taking in oxygen and pushing out the bad stuff, and that blood got to have a certain amount of oxygen in it to be rich and pure, or you're going to get headaches, migraines, aneurysms, tumors, and ulcers, and everything else if that blood ain't oxygen rich. And eventually you're going to be dead. So every part of the body is functionally important. And every part of the body has a separate function. The lungs don't do what the heart do, but they work hand in hand together. The kidneys and the liver don't do what the lungs and the heart do, but they all work together. You know, the kidneys purify the other organs, and the liver purifies the blood. Understand what I'm saying? So everything in the body is connected for a purpose, and it all has its own workings. Now, you don't see any of those organs. They're not on the outside of you. They're hidden. So sometimes the hardest working people, this goes back to that private prayer thing. Maybe your ministry right now, for some of you listening, is just to pray for somebody. Okay? The hardest working part of your body is the stuff that you don't see. When's the last time you looked at your heart, your kidney, your lungs, your liver? Have you ever touched it? No, but it's there. And you know it's there, and you know how needful it is. So everybody's needed. And then, you know, all the attacks, if you get hurt before something penetrates your heart, it's gotta hit your chest. Before something penetrates your kidneys, it's got to hit your back. Before something hits your lungs, it's got to get through your abdomen or your thorax, whatever the upper part of your body. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. It's got to hit that part of you and go through the rib cage and all that to get to you. So sometimes the people who are out on the forefront are the ones that are getting hit first and hit the hardest. But what happens when there's a wound in the body? The heart got to pump more blood. That you begin to breathe harder and take in more oxygen, and all these things happen. So we all work together. If one person is affected, everybody is affected, according to the word of God. Often we don't see it that way. But anyways, everything in the body is by specific design. I'm talking about the human body, but I'm really talking about the body of Christ as believers. We are one. Keeps bringing me back to this unity thing. Hallelujah. We're going to need unity in the days to come. Let me tell you something. The world is becoming more and more unified in the sense that they're drawing together as one. The Bible calls it the spirit of the world. You're either in the spirit of God or you're in the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is Antichrist. Okay, yeah, we talk about the Antichrist all the time in the, you know, eschatology, people talking about it's this person or it's this world leader or that person, and everybody's trying to pinpoint it. It's a spirit. And there's a deeper revelation to that I'll get into when the time when it's permissible by the Holy Spirit for me to deal with the eschatology. But at this point, the spirit of the world is the spirit of Antichrist. It's that simple. So you're either in God or you're out of God. You're either in God or you're out of God. It's that simple. Now, that spirit Although the people of the world are hellraisers, they fight, shoot, and kill, and cuss one another, and fight amongst themselves, there's a spirit that is connected. They're all connected in this sense. They all are under the power of the prince of the power of the air. You can find that in Ephesians, the second chapter, and it says that the same spirit that works in the children of disobedience. So, yeah, they'll fight amongst themselves and kill one another, talk about each other, do all those things that, that people in the church do also, talking against each other. And, you know, we may not physically kill, but we kill with the tongue. So, unfortunately, that happens in the body of Christ, and it shouldn't. It's a cancer in the body, and God wants to heal the body and deliver a generation. But watch this. Those people in the world have the same spirit, not in the sense. Not in this sense that to say that the spirit of the devil is omnipresent or anything like that. He's not everywhere. He can't be everywhere at the same time. That's not what I mean. But what I'm saying is they have the same mindset. They are of one mind because they all are serving the same person. They're serving the enemy, whether they do it inadvertently or not. If you're not serving God, you're serving Satan. There's no in between. If you're serving self, you're serving Satan. Okay, understand that. That's why if you really want to study it and find out what they believe, the Satan worshipers believe in self-exaltation because you now like the one that you serve. He's exalted himself. So watch this. The spirit of the world, as the world becomes more and more unified, that's what the whole Antichrist thing is going to be about. You know, there's wars and rumors of war and all that stuff and calamity and all that stuff. These things must happen, Jesus said. But understand what it's really leading to. At the end of the day, it's going to make everybody that's of the world say, we want unity. We want unification. We want oneness. And the devil's going to draw them all together and deceive them. But we don't have to be a part of that. So because we're not a part of that, we're going to end up the minority at some point in this world. I mean, we as the believers will be the minority because all the religions are going to be combined. All of the people are going to be saying the same thing and thinking it's a good thing, but they're of the spirit of the world, so they speak of the world. So as we see this forming, as we see the wars and the rumors of war pushing everybody to want world peace and one world this and one world that, as you see that forming right before our eyes and Bible prophecy being fulfilled, as you see that, this means God is looking to now draw his people into a place of oneness. Because how can we stand against the enemy if we're divided? How can we? Jesus said, if Satan be divided, his kingdom cannot stand. That was an if. Jesus knows some things about the enemy that we need to understand. And he knows some things about principle that he wants us to understand. That's why he's raising up teachers. Now, I said this earlier. There are things in the body that we have as, and I speak as part of the body. We all are responsible for one another. Things in the body that we have been neglectful on teaching about. God raises up teachers for a specific purpose. Watch this. You have the apostle. You have the prophet. You have the evangelist. And you have the pastor. And then you have the teacher. And that's the order they're listed in Scripture. Okay? That's the order they're listed in Scripture. The teacher is the very last one mentioned for a reason. He's not less than the rest. It doesn't mean that because, oh, I'm a teacher, then I'm less than this person. See, what the devil has done was made everybody try to go for what seemed like it's more authoritative, and everybody's trying to rule and lord over each other, and we ain't getting nothing done. All you got to do is look at the world around us. How bad is the world? Do we say? We say it's the end times, the devil's doing this, the world's coming to an end. Look at them over here doing this and them doing that and wars and calamities and the gays are taking over and all the stuff we say and the perverts and the killers and all the shootings and all the stuff we say. Well, then we got to understand then where did we drop the ball? Because Jesus said we're the salt of the earth. So somewhere we've been distracted, missing our purpose. Watch this. God is looking to bring oneness. So he has the teacher listed last for a reason. It's not that he's least of anything, but there's a reason that, because at the end of the day, God wants to teach us. There's things we can shout, jump, buck. We can build churches, build them even bigger so we can shout, buck, and jump even more and run all over the place and turn the carpet up. But at the end of the day, if God is moving and God's not speaking, then we're without instruction. And if we don't have instruction, then we are sitting ducks, and God wants a people He wants a people that knows what he wants done, and yet that means we've got to now come to a place of unity and sanctification of the Spirit. Watch this. One of the bigger subjects that we have failed to teach properly in the body of Christ, and why we need teachers in this hour, we need to be taught. Let me show you something. In the beginning, God, the Spirit of God moved. We know it was darkness on the face of the water, and it was no form, no shape. It was just, you know, it was just blah. It was just dark, and nothing was right. Everything was out of order. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He moved. And then God spoke and said, let there be light. That means God's never going to move. We're never going to have a move of God where God doesn't speak and give revelation. If God's not giving revelation, then you might have had a move of flesh. You might have had emotionalism because, yes, we love the glory. I love to feel the presence of God. I love to praise God and worship God. I love that he'll rain on me and cause me to know he's real and I can feel him even in my, you know, physical form. Down to the core of my spirit and my soul, every part of me can be touched by God. That's a beautiful thing. But at the end of the day, do I know his ways? Can he trust me? Can he say, I have expectation of you and I know you will not fail? At the end of the day, that means we got to have some revelation. The Spirit of God moved on that water. Then he spoke. He's not going to move without speaking. He's either going to speak first, then he moves, or he's either going to move and then he's going to speak. But he's going to give some revelation at some point. At some point, God doesn't want you. He does not want you in the dark. Therefore, the first word out of his mouth recorded in the Bible is, let there be light. So God wants to shed light on some things. And now, one of the subjects, and I know this is going to be a couple of parts, you know, before I can finish this, especially with how long it took me to even get into it this evening. But one of the things that God really wants us to understand is money. He wants us to understand money in the body of Christ and have the right understanding. He wants us to have the right understanding. I'm going to read a scripture real quick. I have several, but I'm going to follow the Spirit on today. Jesus began to teach his disciples. And he began to teach about money. I want you to understand how Jesus looks at money, because what's happened, many people in the body of Christ have problems with money. Either we ain't got enough and we're trying to get some more, or we got enough and we don't think it's enough, so we're still trying to get some more, or we covetous. Now, I want you to understand something about the spirit of covetousness. I wrote something the other day to share my story, because I had a conversation with the Lord, and he let me know I was covetous. But I'm so thankful that we serve a God that he's not just going to make you feel good. He's going to tell you when you're wrong. Hallelujah. He's going to tell you about you. Now, everybody that's blessed and doing good and look good, dress good, riding good, got a nice house, ain't covetous. Some people have paid the cost to be where they're at, and we ought to celebrate them. Hallelujah. But if you really understand what God is trying to do with the body, and we're going to understand it beforehand, or we're going to understand it when it's too late. But if we really understand what God is trying to do with the body, he's not trying to cause us to be lords over one another. No. What he's trying to do is bring up a spirit of oneness in the body of Christ. In the book of Acts, when the Spirit of God fell upon them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, after that, it says they all had all things in common. That's a great thought. That's a great desire to want to see that. But we have so much pride and not a lot of humility in the body these days that's a hard thing to even imagine, you know, because now everybody wants to say, well, I'm different than you. I got what you ain't got, and you ain't got what I got. Get like me. Well, you know, everybody's got a vision nowadays. Everybody's a visionary. But did God give you that vision? That's the question. Did God tell you to do it that way? Did God? That's the thing we got to look at. Now, in the book of Acts, they all had all things in common, even to the point that they were all taking their money and laying it at the apostles' feet. I need you to listen to me real good right here. Now, I'm not asking nobody for no money, so that's not what this is about. This is about you getting the right understanding. This is about us getting the right understanding. Because at the end of the day, don't you know, at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to who you worship Why do you think it talks about they can't buy or sell except they worship the image of the beast and the mark of the beast and all that? And it's tied up with your money, buying and selling. So that's a powerful thing. The enemy knows that at some point, if I can't persecute you in the selling out, then I'll just cut off your supply of earthly things. So God is trying to give us an understanding of what money is. Money is nothing but an earthly mean of exchange. Understand this. Money is not a spiritual thing as much as we want to make it. This is why a lot of people are turned off by the 21st century church, because you turn on the TV, $1,000 seed. I need $1,000. I need 1,000 people to give me $1,000. You go in some of these churches and God said it's 1,000 people to give me $1,000, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, don't get me wrong. Giving is nice. Giving is good. You will reap what you sow. The principles of God do work. But at the end of the day, there's a direct teaching that needs to be had in the body of Christ, and it needs to flow through the body that we all get the right understanding according to what the scriptures say and what the Holy Spirit is saying through the scriptures and what Jesus have already said. So I'm going to read these few little scriptures, and I'm going to get out of here. I'm gonna get out of here. So first, I'm going to start with Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we know Jesus began to teach the people. In verse 2, it says, "And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine." First thing you need to know is Jesus did have doctrine. All you folks say that doctrine don't matter, there it is right there, Mark chapter 4. Because God's not going to have a bunch of ignorant people running around saying that they're God's spokespersons and they don't have any true doctrine that come from Christ. I will go into the Isaiah and explain how the Holy Spirit teaches you doctrine, but that's a whole nother message. We don't have time for that today. But he's the one that teaches. He teaches the teacher. Hallelujah. He speaks through the teacher. He speaks through the pastor. He speaks through the prophet and the apostle and evangelist. So he's the one that teaches us. And we've got the Bible says, "Let every man examine himself to see whether you be in the faith." In some places where that word faith is used, it actually means doctrine. Teachings of Christ. Are we really in the faith? It doesn't mean you believe. You can be a believer and still be off. But it's when you get into the teachings of Christ, his ways. A lot of people know his word, but they don't know his ways. They know his works, but don't know his ways. But God says, "I want you to know my ways, because I got a way that's right." But as the song said at the beginning, "I know your ways are not my ways, but in your will I'm going to stay." So when we know the difference between his way and our way, then we won't try to put the word on our way and make it work. We're going to put the word out the way that it is. Hallelujah. So he begins to teach them in his doctrine. He says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony grounds where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprung up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, and some fell among thorns." This is the part I want to pay attention to right here. "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." This is Jesus talking, y'all. It's in red writing. So this is authoritative speech right here. This is the Lord himself that said these things, okay? He says, And it yielded no fruit. But then he said, "And other on good ground, and it did yield fruit, and sprung up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold," okay, or 100. "And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear," do you have ears today? "Let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." So he's just told a parable. This is how he taught. This is his doctrine. You know, that means everything God say, he ain't going to say it directly. "Thus saith the Lord." You got to catch what God is saying when he's throwing these parables out. You got to know the voice of your father when he's speaking through somebody that you might not respect. That's why we can't be respecters of persons. You need to read James chapter 2. The Lord woke me up the other day with that. Hallelujah. Watch this. We can't be respectful of persons. God will speak to you through a baby in Christ, through somebody that you think, "Oh, well, because they ain't dressed a certain way, they ain't got the big church, or they ain't riding like this, or they ain't got the suits on and the necktie ain't right, or what, all that stupid stuff that's earthly." You know, we got to hear his voice. That might be your parable. They might not look the part, but they got the voice. Watch this. He says, "Unto you that is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." You want to get closer to God, you got to catch it. Watch this. He said that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may not, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Now, he goes on to explain the parable in verse 14. He says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they which are by the wayside. When the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Some people, by the time they get off this call, they're going to forget everything. The devil's going to take this word from them. Some people, as soon as they come out of church on Sunday, the devil has taken everything that God put in them. It's not that God didn't give it to them. They just can't hold it. This is why people backslide continuously, or they just can't walk with God. They say, I'm a believer, but their life is filthy. They live just like the world, and you can't tell no difference from them. Watch this. He says, and they are likewise which are sown on stony ground. He's saying they ain't going to keep it either. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. These are the people that run and buck and shout. We love the calling to move of God. We turn your carpet up in your church. We having a good time. But he says, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. These people will last a little bit longer. They'll stay with God a little bit longer, but after a while, they're going to backslide too. And he said, but afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, the persecution, they don't want your house. They don't want your car. They don't care about you wearing the nice suits and the gator skin shoes or the red bottoms and all that stuff. Uh-uh. That ain't really what the persecution's about. People talking about, well, y'all hate to see me doing good. Baby, it ain't about this earthly stuff. The devil coming after that word. It ain't but one thing in your spirit that can produce life. That's the word of God. Watch this. He says, for the word say, immediately they are offended. After a while, the devil keep attacking you because you're carrying the word. If you're not good ground, you're going to give up that word. Because you're going to look at something on the outside that you think ought to be a certain way, and God's saying, it ain't about that. If they take it all, can you still serve me? Job is a prime example. Watch this. Don't mean God wants you poor. Don't nobody leave here saying I'm teaching poverty. I'm going to give you the balanced word of God concerning these things. Watch this. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world. This is where a large mass of the body of Christ is today. And the cares of this world, where's Jesus' kingdom from? I recall the scripture saying that Jesus proclaimed, for my kingdom is not of this world. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The devil will deceive you through money. That's your Bible right here. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. He says, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. When you got money, or even if you ain't got money, you can have lusts. But what happens is when you care for the things of this world and you feel like you can afford it, then you will lust for all kind of things. Now, is it wrong to have? No. If God give it to you, enjoy it. But he's also going to require some things. He's going to require you to be a good steward. He's going to require you to share. He's going to require you to give. He's going to require generosity at your hands. And you can't walk in a covetous spirit. Watch this. It says, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in. So there's a wide open door to your heart to get that word out when you sown among thorns. He says, it choked the word and it become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground. This is what we're heading for. This is what we're aiming for. Good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it. They hear the word and receive it. And bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now, I'm gonna read another scripture real quick. And then I'm gonna expound and I'm done. Now, Jesus is telling you plainly. He's not talking about anything but the word. He's talking about the condition of your heart and the word. Now, it's either going to be you just dumb or sinful or crazy and you can't hold the word, or you offended, or you got issues, or you know, you just caught up and you just can't handle the persecution and you're going to give up the word, or you caught up in this world and you love the things of this world and you think that's what it's all about, because that's how they preach it. A lot of people preach it. Money, money, money. Money cometh. And you know, and we hear this stuff all the time, but are we being taught what the purpose of it is? It's for provision. That's it. It's for provision. Jesus said you cannot. I need you to hear me. He says you cannot serve God and money. Jesus said these things. You cannot serve God and money. What a lot of people, and even I've been guilty of it, let's just call a spade, what a lot of people have done is we have tried to serve God in money. We have, if we be honest. We've tried to serve God in money because the way the systems of this world are set up, it's almost like you got to have money. Let's keep it real. You got to have money to pay your bills. You got to have money to sustain you, to put food in your cabinets and, you know, to pay your way, to get around. Even, you know, certain things, you don't got no money. You find out just how difficult life can be without it. I can talk about it. I've been there. But I can tell you one thing that I can say through it all, God has never forsaken me. Never. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't trade him for a dollar amount. Hallelujah. Watch this. I've been tested in this. I can say that. Watch this now. Go with me to Luke 16, chapter 9. Actually, go to Luke 16, verse 10. Jesus says this here. Yeah, I'm going to go to verse 9. He says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon," which means money, "of unrighteousness." He calls it an unrighteous thing. Money, he's saying it's unrighteousness. Watch this. "That when ye fail, they may receive you in the everlasting habitations." What I love about Jesus' speech is this. He didn't say if you fail. Sometimes failure is part of the plan. Somebody might not like that, but sometimes failure is part of God's plan, but favor is also on the other side of that coin. Watch this. He says, "When ye fail, they may receive you in the everlasting habitations." Now, I'm not going to expound on that one too much. But then he goes on to say in verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least." What is least? He's saying the things of this world is least. It's the least of your worries, the least of your concerns. He says there's something greater you should seek, which is his kingdom. Luke 12 and 31 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added." Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Watch this. So he says, "He that is faithful in that which is least also is faithful in much." So what he's saying is, if we're faithful over being stewards of money, we can't be servants of money, but we steward money, or what is the word I'm looking for? We are managers of money. We are managers of time. We're managers of the things that God has given us that are in this carnal world. He says, if you're faithful over that which is least, he's telling you plainly, it's the least thing. It's not the most important thing. Getting that new car, that new house, that business off the ground. It's a blessing if God gives you those things. It's a blessing if you're in his plan and he's showing you how to do it. Then there's no failure in his way, in his design. But when you fail, watch this. He's still going to give you favor if you trust him. He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." What is the much? He's going to tell us. Watch this. "And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much." Are you just in your money? Do you help people to bind them up and make them your servants? Or do you help them because they genuinely need help and you genuinely care? Are you just or are you unjust? Watch this. He says, and basically what you do with your money is showing God, your relationship with money is going to prove to you who you really are. And it's going to prove what you can get from God. Watch this. He says, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," there he calls it that again, just in case somebody think I was out of context. He calls it unrighteous mammon. It's unrighteous. There's no good in it. You can do good with it because you're a good steward, but it's unrighteous mammon. It has the spirit of this world. When you look at your money, it's of this world, okay? He says, "Who will commit to your trust true riches?" There's a question mark there. What are the true riches Jesus is really talking about? There's treasure in the kingdom. There's an understanding of this word that God will give you that no teacher can teach you. There's some things we can point you in that direction, but there's some revelations you're only going to get through the Spirit. But God says, if you're unjust with your money, you don't give, you don't treat people right, you don't do right with your money, how can I trust you with my word? Watch this. How can I really show you the true riches of the kingdom? There's some things in the kingdom that you need to know. He says, "And if Ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's. Who shall give you that which is your own? No servant, here's the part I want to get to, can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That word mammon means money. He didn't say you can't serve God and the devil. Why didn't he just say the devil right here? Why did he say mammon? Because he knows that that mammon is connected to the devil, and the devil is going to try to use money to get to your heart. Now, having money is not a sin. Money itself, the Bible calls it unrighteous. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So that's a step further than it being unrighteous to itself. It's already unrighteous. But when you love something that's unrighteous, now you got a root of evil that's going to take you into more and more diverse lusts of evil. And you can call it God all day. You can put God's name on it all day. People preach it all the time like that because they're sown among thorns. And the ones they're preaching to are sown among thorns and don't even realize it. And when somebody brings them a word, watch what happens. When somebody gives you the word of truth, the true riches, most of the times this is what happens. What happened in verse 14, it says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, these were church folks. This was Israel's church leaders. It says they were covetous. They heard these things and they derided him. They will begin to pick at you when you give them the word of truth. This is what they did to Jesus. He sat there and told them the truth, and they derided him. Why? Because they were covetous. They were sown among thorns and didn't even realize that God was trying to give them some true riches. Hallelujah. Watch this. There's a level of understanding that God wants to give us about money. I know the scripture says money answers all things. That's things. You need a house? That's a thing. Money is the answer. You need a car? That's a thing. Money is the answer. You need new shoes? That's a thing. Money is the answer. Am I saying we shouldn't have money? No, we definitely got to have it. But what we got to be faithful over it. He says, if you've been faithful over a few things, then I'll make you ruler of much. This is, you really want revelation of the word. You really want to know what's coming. You really want to know what God thinks about things. We got to begin to steward over the things of this world right, not let them steward over us. Are you a servant of money, or is money your servant? Watch this, because God says you can't serve it and serve him. I don't care how we try to dress it up. You're either serving God or the money. Or let's take it a step further. We ain't even got to talk about money. You're either serving God or the devil. You're either serving God or the things of this world. But God says, seek first my kingdom. Everything else be added. That means that's a place of dying to yourself. That's a place of getting rid of some things. That's a place of letting go of some things. That means sometimes we're working too hard. The Bible says labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. That means if God has it in his plan to make you rich, maybe he going to do it. He did it with Abraham. Because all he had was the word of God on his life that made him rich. It was the word of God that made Abraham rich. I need you to understand this. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh thee rich, and he add no sorrow with it. But there is some riches that do have sorrow, and we'll find that out in part two next week. But the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. What is the blessing of the Lord? It's his word. It's what he say. It's the wealth of the kingdom inside of you that makes you valuable beyond what this world. Let me tell you something. Die today if you got $10 million in your bank account. Die today. None of it is translated into your heavenly account. But there are people walking around here that are filthy rich in the kingdom, but they may not look it on earth. This is why God is commanding us not to be respected as a person, but to be just in all of our doings. And not only that, listen, God is wanting to bring his people to a place of oneness. That means if I see a need in a brother or a sister in the body of Christ, then I got to meet that need unless the Spirit is leading me a different way. If you see a need, this is where we got to come into the oneness. Not everybody trying to be honcho and the boss and the ruler and the visionary. What is God saying? Hallelujah. He's looking for a faithful people because God wants to deliver a generation. And he wants the church to be respected because we are his representatives on earth. We are his representatives on earth. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We know that you do all things well. You're a wise God. Lord, you're a God of wise counsel. Counsel us in our stewardship, Father God. Teach us how to allow money to serve us. Teach us how to seek first your kingdom, and then, Lord, you said these things would be added. Show us how you will add them. Give us a plan, Lord God. Open doors for your people, Lord God, to have things, Lord God, without overexerting our energy, without putting more work into the things of this world than we're putting in to the kingdom, Lord God. But let us seek first the kingdom. Let us fall on our faces before you, Lord God. Let us begin to pray more for one another. Let us begin to feel the needs of one another, Lord God. Let us sow without loaded intentions, Lord God. Let us give without loaded intentions, Lord God. Your word says we should give expecting nothing in return. Often we give because we think this person is blessed and I can get more blessings by blessing them. But, Father, let us bless to be a blessing. And you promised that you would repay. You even told us, Jesus, that if we would give to those that could not repay us, that our Father who sees in secret will reward us openly. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you are preparing our hearts for a wealth transfer, Lord God, that we will not be covetous, greedy, nor will we be sown among thorns, but we will have a balanced understanding, and we will trust you, and we will yield good fruit. Hallelujah, Lord God. We will trust you, and we will not do our own thing, Lord God. Lord, the struggle, some have struggled, Lord God, because they're seeking first your kingdom. And they put aside the things of this world. And every day it is difficult for them to understand how they're going to make it. But, Father, I pray. I pray that the windows of heaven will just be open to them, Father. I pray that a rain shower of blessings upon them, Lord God. Hallelujah. The one that doesn't know how they're going to make ends meet, Lord God, I pray right now that you will show up and show out, Lord God. Hallelujah. I pray right now for favor. You told us to make friends of those with the unrighteous mammon. Lord, I pray that you would give us favor with those who have the substance of this world, and give us wisdom around those people, Lord God. And when you give us favor, Lord God, we will know it. Let us not follow any favor that didn't come from you, but let us follow the true favor that comes from you. Let us connect as you lead. Hallelujah. Father, I bless you. I thank you, Lord God, for touching our children. I thank you for healing our bodies. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for turning hearts back to the throne of God that we are laid at your feet. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
We're not trying to take you back, but you got to know what's about to go.
Time. Bye.